Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
The beauty is that there's a baby in a manger, no place to stay except for with the animals. Why? So that God could remove your sin completely. It's a reminder that God cares that much about you, that he would remove your sin completely. It is no longer attached to you. No longer attached to you. Number two is that God forgets your sin immediately. Isaiah 43:25 says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sin no more. Now, the first thing you need to realize about this, this has kind of baffled me because I read this verse before and it's quoted different places in the Bible, and I love that. God, remember your sin no more. It's a great verse, but he says, I will forgive your sins for my sake. For my sake? Not mine, his. God is saying, I'm forgiving your sins for me. That your sin is so important to forgive according to him that he lets it go. That he would forget your sin immediately. He doesn't just white it out. Now, I was going to post a picture of a typewriter. Have you ever seen a typewriter? Some of y'all don't know what a typewriter is. Okay. Actually, some of you do because it's become very hipster, all right? But, you know, like, I used to, like, some of my friends had computers when I was growing up, but it wasn't something that was really common. So I would say, I need to type this report. And my dad would say, I'll type it for you. And he would get out his typewriter and type my report. It's like, tell me what it says. And I would read it to him, and he would type it out. Clack, 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 clack. Ding, right? And, like, eventually, my dad, now, you know something about that? My dad is not a secretary. He's not very, you know, what do you call the people that like, you know, dictate something to them, they can type it out. He's not one of those. He's just, you know, kind of happy-go-lucky, a go-for-it kind of guy. And so he usually would go faster than what I was prepared for. And so it would come a time where he would make a mistake. No. He would make a mistake. Now, this is my school paper, not his. And he would say, well, pull the paper out, and he would get some whiteout, right? Now, here's the problem with whiteout. It was gunky. It looked like it covered up, but it was not paper. It was not paper. They could call it liquid paper all they want, but it's not, okay? And they would brush over the top, and it would kind of harden up, and it would be a different, you know, roughness. And if you flip the paper over, you could see that there was a word under there that my dad had whited out over. I said, Dad, just start it. No, this is fine. No, just grab a new piece of paper. This is fine, son. And he would type over the top of the whiteout again the word, but everybody knew that there was a mistake underneath there. And oftentimes when it comes to forgiveness in our lives, we have this approach that we think that God just whites out whatever is a mistake, and he types over. And everybody that comes to us, they're like, hey, how you doing? It's like we wear this mistake, this liquid paper whiteout on us that we think that it's obvious to everyone about what we've done, where we've been, what we've gone through, and we wear that thing. And it's like, well, this is all I could do. I know that you have a computer at your house, but all I have is this paper that my dad typed on. But God is not that way. He doesn't just type on something and then white it out and then keep on going. He actually has the best word processor that you have ever seen. He gets into his computer and it comes across and he backspaces and it is gone. As a matter of fact, it can't even be recalled what you have done. He forgives completely, and he forgives immediately. And you know what? When I type something out on the computer now and I print it out, you can't even tell all the mistakes I made. You can't tell that I wrote four paragraphs and deleted them all. You can't tell. And that's the same way with your lives. That sometimes your life can reflect the choices you made. Your life can be a reflection of what you've done and the experiences that you've had. But when it comes to your sin, God doesn't see any of that. You get a fresh start and he forgives immediately. For whose sake? For his sake. And that is a wonder that I cannot even fathom. That he removes my sin from me. It's good stuff. Forgiveness follows us like a dark cloud. Unforgiveness and mistakes follow us like a dark cloud. We have shame in our life. We begin to start defining ourselves by it. My favorite thing is to walk into a room full of people and just hear their testimonies. Now, testimonies are cool, but there's always people who you can tell when they live in their past because they never come to a place where they go, but Jesus erased all that. They just want to talk about how bad they were, how evil they were. And a lot of times it's tied to how far they've come. And they'll say something like this, well, you know, I'm not where I'm supposed to be, but I'm not where I was, thank God. And here's the amazing thing, that yeah, you're not where you're supposed to be yet, and you're not where you were. But God doesn't remember those things that you commit to him. That he delivers you so completely, and he is transforming you, the Bible says, from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. And so you know what level I'm at right now? Glory. You know what I'm gonna be? Glory. 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 And he says that my face shines with the glory of God. And it is an ever-increasing glory. But it is not the reflection of shame, sin, and unforgiveness that I would like to wear each and every day. Because the enemy comes to me and says, I know who you are. When God looks at you, he says, yeah, I know who you are. Because deep underneath all that stuff that you put on, all the dirt, all the shame, he begins to wipe it away and he begins to see the thing that he created in the beginning. Before you were in your mother's womb, he knew you and he formed you fearfully and wonderfully in his image for his glory. That is a wonder we can't explain. So we have to put away this badge, this dark cloud of shame that we would like to wear that makes us, actually it makes us feel holy. We think that we're giving glory to God by wearing the crap that we used to do. Oh, if I sin, oh, then grace abounds so much more. Is that true? You betcha. But what does it do? It makes you look like the glory of God. When you begin to remain and kind of wear the thing that God has freed you from, you are actually not giving glory to God at all. You're creating separation between God and you when he is actually calling you higher to seat in heavenly places with him. He says, I want you to live at a higher level. I want you to wear my name. He says, as a matter of fact, when you get to heaven, you'll finally see what you have been like all along. I'll give you a robe of white. I'll give you a crown. I'll give you a name. I'll give you everything that I had for you then, but you just couldn't see it. And oftentimes we're so busy wearing the dirty thing that we don't put on the thing that God has for us. God forgives so completely and so wonderfully that it comes with this thing called grace. Now, grace is an idea that we love the sound of it, right? How sweet the sound, right? Grace. Oh, just give me a little grace. What we think that means is we want some grace to remain where we are. Give me some grace here. I'm just going to stay right here. Right? When somebody begins to complain to you, I just need a little grace. I'm going through something. I just need a little grace. No, that's not God's idea of grace. Grace is getting something that you don't deserve. Okay, what is it? It's a gift, God says. Grace is the power that removes sin from your life and gives you the power to become all that he desires you to be. And one of those things is power over the thing that got you in the mess in the first place. Some people would like to remain in the same old thing saying, give me some grace. Oh, you know, it's all grace, bro. Grace, bro. Grace. Hey, come on. Give me some grace. I just need some grace. But God is saying, I gave you grace. Now stand up. I gave you some grace. Now walk out of that thing. I give you the power to trample on the thing that has killed you. Could you imagine being bitten by a poisonous snake? And God says, if you look at this snake on a pole, then you'll be healed, okay? So they set up this Nehushtan-looking cross thing. There's a snake on a pole, and the snake would come and bite them, and they would be dying. And God says, look at the snake on the pole, and you'll be healed. So they all look, boom. Oh, what is that? It's the gift of God. It means that they're healed from this poisonous snake. Could you imagine looking at that and being like, it's cool, I'm just going to keep my poison. It's all grace, man. Right? You'd be smart enough to go, no, I don't want to remain in that thing. I don't want to stay in that thing. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the pleasures of sin are great for a season, but the end is death. In other words, if you stay there, it will kill you eventually. Poison that will ruin you. And so Jesus says, like the serpent was raised up in the wilderness, I'm going to be raised up like that. What was he saying? He was saying that when you get bitten by the thing that will kill you and you look to me, I'll deliver you. So when you make grace this thing where I'm just going to stay right here because it's all grace, bro. I can do this thing. I got it. God forgave me. But you keep living in the snake poison, you'll eventually die. It will kill you. Now, here's the amazing thing. We get it twisted and we think that God wants us to be good for him. But the opposite is true. He forgives you for his sake. He gives you power for his sake. It is to his glory that you defeat that thing. It is to his glory that you walk out of that thing. It is to his glory that you walk out of Egypt. It is to his fame and his testimony that you stand up and say, you know what? I couldn't beat it, but I beat it today by the glory of God. Why? Because God forgives me. God is for me. He's always there, and he forgives me, and I run to him. I know people that have struggled with pornography all of their lives, and trying to beat it by themselves has never, ever worked. And somewhere along the way, they started getting the idea that God was for them and not against them, and they're like, you know what? I may have just done this thing that I can't escape from, but I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that God delivers me from all of my enemies. Everything that comes against me will be destroyed, and they will flee from me seven ways. And then it happens again. And they say the same thing until they become convinced that God's power is alive and active in them for it. But as long as you keep putting on that thing of shame that says, I'm not forgiven, God can't get me past this, you will live in a pit of despair, cycling down the same sin. The same sin. And you'll think that you're forgiven when God has forgiven you for a moment, and then you'll think that God hasn't forgiven me because it doesn't go away. All because you don't use the power that God has given you to get out of the pit. You don't have to live in the thing that is destroying you. You can walk out of it with the grace of God. He forgives you. So God gives you power over sin. Kids have a hard time keeping rules, right? So we start with, like, you know, two-year-olds, and we're like, hey, don't hit each other, right? They can't handle everything. Hey, be home at 10, you know, make sure you call me when you get there, you know, all that stuff. They can't handle all that. All they can handle is one thing at a time. So it's like, don't hit. don't hit, right? They don't really understand rules or law. Okay? But somewhere along the way, as we grow up, we move into a place where we think that if we keep the rules, then we're pleasing. But babies don't know this idea of law keeping and being pleasing. All they know is that I'm loved. All they know is that they're loved. And so the wonder of a child is understanding that God loves you and forgives you and not running to this place of law keeping. A lot of times we can't beat sin. We can't overcome the thing that is trying to tackle us because we're living in a place that today I pleased God and I'm doing so good. It's like a diet. I'm doing so good that I deserve the triple stack cookies and cream and a waffle cone from Baskin Robbins. Right? Don't we do that? I'm doing so good. I read my Bible today. I can be angry at them. I'm doing so good. I've been going to church. I've been growing. I'm beginning to love people over here, but I'm not loving them. You know, I'm so joyful. I've gotten out of my depression, but I'm not at peace. And it's okay. Because I'm doing so good over here that God will surely forget about this. It's law keeping. Kids don't do this. Adults do. Because adults don't live in the wonder of what God has really done. We're still in scorekeeping mentality. And a matter of fact, we come from a place where we like to pay God back for what he's done for us. God, I know that you've given me your blood, you've given me your son, you've given me forgiveness. Let me get you on that. We put a little down payment towards that. Aren't I doing awesome, God? And he's like, that's very nice, but it's not really what's required for you to be forgiven. We begin to accept gifts from God that are so priceless, and we deposit pennies, fractions of pennies, into an account and think that we're doing good for God. And we think it gives us license until the next payment is due. In the Old Testament, this was called religion. When Jesus came, he began to verbally spank, that's rebuke, the religious because they missed on the fact that God was providing all things for them, including the strength required to move on. God forgives. So what does Romans say? Romans says this, 6:14. For sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law, but under grace. So when I sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, what I'm actually singing is not that I've been forgiven, although that's a very good part of it. He's saying that sin is no longer my master. You need to write that down. Sin is no longer my master. Why? Because amazing grace saved me from it. Sin is no longer my master. God forgives me so that I can stand and move out of that thing. It's easy to think, oh, well, all sin is the same. You know, Pastor Block, you know, he's got some stuff in his life. Right, Pastor? Oh, no, not Pastor. You know, one time I was driving with Pastor, and I was driving and I offered him, I said, do you want to drive? I'll ride in the car. Okay. He said, no, it's fine. I'll ride in the passenger seat. You can drive. I said, are you sure? It's a 4-hour drive. He said, yeah, it's okay. Along about an hour and a half, he got very judgmental. I just want to let you know, your pastor is a very judgmental person. And I just told him, thou shalt not judge. Judge not, lest you be judged. That's what I told him. He said, if we could just slow it down a little bit so I don't have to break my neck on the thing. I said, well, you want to talk about driving? Because we can talk about it if you want. Because I've ridden in his car a lot. Your pastor's not perfect. But when pointed out that he was being very judgmental, he actually tried to correct it. He said, God has given me the grace for this, Brandon. I will overcome this judgmentalism. I began to speak in tongues and praise the Lord like never before. Sins shall no longer be your master because you're no longer under the law, but you're under grace. In other words, when you're trying to keep everything back and forth, I got this, I got that, checklist, I got check. I don't have these over here, I'm still working on them. Those are good things to do. You should probably just go home, and when everybody has left the room, just lay on the floor one day and just say, God, I'm open and bare before you. Open me up and show me all the crap in my life that's not like you. And just let him come in and just be like, that's not like me. This needs to go. It's time for that to let go. And let him begin to heal in your life and give you the strength for things that you've been trying to do on your own for too long. In other words, you've been living under the law. I got this, I don't got that. Well, God gives me grace for that. But actually, God has given you the strength because sin is no longer your master. Help me out back there. So many times we give up instead of living in God's power. I wonder what things you've given up on in your life that you just think God is okay with that. It's okay. I got grace, and yeah, you do. It's okay, God has forgiven me. Yeah, you're absolutely forgiven. But like being bitten by the snake, we've looked for healing, and then we keep injecting poison into us, thinking that we're living when we're actually dying. There's so many things in your life that you're not experiencing. There's joy to be had. There's peace to be had. There's contentment. There's rest at the end of the night when you lay your head down. But you're not experiencing that because you are living in sin. Some of that sin is bitterness. Some of that sin is unforgiveness. Some of it, the anxiety that you have is because of all the things that you will not give to God. You're thinking about 17 days from now showing up into a house full of people that you are absolutely despised by, or maybe even you despise. You're not living to the fullest of what God has already offered you. He has given you the grace for everything in hand. You'll never size up on your own. The only way you'll make it is if you receive his power for it. And guess what? God forgives. God forgives you. There's a story in the Bible about Jesus. He's hanging out with some religious people, actually at the home of a Pharisee. And a woman comes in who's a very bad woman. But not only has she done some things that are not like the Pharisees, she's also a woman. And Pharisees weren't even supposed to look at women. We weren't supposed to look at him. And here was this woman who came in and she saw Jesus and she began to anoint Jesus's feet with oil, with very expensive oil that cost her a year's wages. Could you imagine $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 oil that you would put on someone's feet? She begins to wipe his feet off. And her tears begin to flow, and she begins to wash his feet with her tears. And the Pharisees can't even see the fact that she is loving Jesus in a way that is so intimate and so real and so appreciative. All they can do is just complain about it. And Jesus looks at the Pharisees and says, I want you to look at this woman. Look at her. But that wasn't their thing. See this woman. When I came in here, you didn't even honor me. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't even offer me any of those things that are customary. But this woman has not stopped washing my feet and drying it with her hair. And then he says, those who have been forgiven much, love much. So many of us are wearing a badge of what we think we haven't been forgiven of, or we think we've been forgiven of, but we've got to wear this name tag, this this thing, or maybe it's a whole entire cloak or a whole entire just feeling of unforgiveness. But I'm here to let you know today that Jesus forgives you completely. As far as the east is from the west, I didn't even bring it up. He forgets it immediately. And because you've been forgiven much, if you could be forgiven that one thing that keeps you up at night, forgiven from the things that you can't kick, if you really knew that you were forgiven, you would in turn love Jesus so much that it would actually change the way you approached him and change the way you lived your life. It began to draw a line in the sand. If that's what Jesus doesn't like, then I don't want that. If this breaks the heart of Jesus, he's forgiven me much. I want to love him much back with it. I got to get rid of that thing. I can't keep living there. It's not okay. I got to move into what God wants for me. Because I love him much. Would you be willing to really sit before God and say, okay, God, I think I'm doing pretty good. What have you forgiven me from that I keep running back to? What have you given me power over that I wear as something that I'll never get over? I was born this way. I'm just impatient. You don't understand, I have a right to be angry. It's just the way I am. God, thank God for grace, right? No, you've been forgiven that thing. It's time to let it go. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? I think each one of us have something that we could probably say right now without digging too deep, that we got to let it go. As a matter of fact, we have the power over that. Some of you will find when you walk out, it won't even be an issue for you anymore. The anointing of God will break it in your life once and forever. Some of you will have to fight for it and contend for it, but it's worth fighting for. I guarantee you that God has a better place for you than what you've been wearing. He's forgiven you, and it's time to move on. It's time to move on in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I pray for my friends in this room. All of us have a hand up in our heart. We thank you for the anointing that comes with forgiveness. That we have an anointing that comes from God, and it shows us all things. That we know all things. We know what you've been speaking, God. We know what you've been calling us to. We know the heights that are possible. And we say today, God, we are seated in heavenly places. We are forgiven. And we go higher, glory to glory, to look like more of what you had in mind when you created us. Forgive us forever living in sin, looking like the devil that you saved us from. And call us to your ultimate glory of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap today?